feel at home and to welcome Christ home into their hearts. And so I say to you this morning, welcome home. Now let me invite you to stand up and say hello to someone near you. If you don't know them, please introduce yourself. Reach across the aisle. Turn around behind you.
Morning. Will you join us in singing O Come, Emmanuel?
Season of Advent, we start with words that come from the 25th Psalm that remind us of where it is that we put our trust as the people of God. So let me invite you to respond in the sections that say all as we share in this responsive reading. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Let none that wait for you be put to shame. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Lead me in your truth and teach me. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love. For they have been from of old. right is the Lord. Therefore, the Lord instructs sinners in the way and leads the humble in what is right and teaches them their way. That in all times and in all circumstances, we are a people who can have hope because of the good news of Emmanuel, God with us, coming into the world and into our lives. So this morning as we pray, I invite you to hold that word in your heart, that word hope. As we think about those persons who are a part of our community who especially need our prayer, remember that word and how much they need that right now. Remember persons in your own family or circle of friends or colleagues who need a little bit of hope this Advent season. And join me now as we pray together. God, in these days of Advent, help us to lean in as your people and draw closer to you and to one another, to give thanks for the good news of hope that is ours, not only because, but sometimes in spite of what is right in front of us. Help us to remember that we are a people of hope, a people who can anticipate your goodness coming into being, even when we may not be able to see it right in front of us. In this season of in-between, remembering that you sent your Son into the world and that He is coming again, help us to be faithful. To be faithful to the kinds of lives that He has called us to. To be faithful as a people who share hope with others. So where we see those in need, may we respond. May we bring a thrill of hope to those who most need it. And may we continue to shape our lives around the life of the one who came, Emmanuel. And so we pray. We pray this morning as He taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You know, I was looking in the bulletin earlier this morning and noticing all the things that will happen over the next few weeks in this season of Advent and as we move into Christmas Eve, and just giving thanks for being part of a church community where so much happens and where there's so many opportunities for us to not only experience the richness of the season ourselves, but to invite others to be a part of that as well. I'm grateful for you and for your generosity that makes the ministries of Trinity possible. And so as we prepare to offer our gifts today, I just want to say a word of thanks and also invite you into a prayer with me over those gifts. Please pray with me. Oh God, you are abundant in your blessings to us, and we give thanks. And in this season of generosity, we now offer back a portion of what we have been blessed with, that it might be used for your church, for your purposes, in bringing hope and transformation to the lives of others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
gifts that are offered in this congregation, for the dancing, for the music, for the choir, for all of you as we worship together. This morning, our scripture reading is from the prophet Jeremiah, and it speaks to us of a thrill of hope, a sprout that will come up, a branch from the tree of David. So I invite you to follow along with me as I read verses 14 through 16. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill my gracious promise with the people of Israel and Judah. In those days and at that time, I will raise up a righteous branch from David's line, who will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is what he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And let me invite you to bow your heads and pray for me this morning in sharing this message with you as I pray for you in receiving it. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So today we begin the season of Advent. It's those 4 weeks leading up to Christmas, that time that we celebrate the Adventist, that's the word Advent, of the birth of Christ and his coming again into our world. Now, with all of that hope and excitement, the scripture readings for Advent may seem a bit puzzling because they are not filled with the nostalgia of shepherds and angels and babies and innkeepers and Mary pondering these things in her heart. No, instead, the scripture readings can even be a little bit jarring because they point us toward the second coming of Christ, the longing and the hope that we have for Christ's return, for his coming again to make all things right in the world. Christ gives us hope that there will be a time when all in our world will be just and right and filled with peace. Why this season of Advent is one of waiting and longing, because it's not too hard to look around, to read the newspaper, to watch the news, to read online, and to know that all is not right in our world. All is not well. We long for the day when God will finish what God has started, when God will fulfill God's promises. We hope for the day when Christ will come again and all will be right with the world. You know, toward the beginning of the 6th century B.C., when the prophet Jeremiah was preaching, the people of Jerusalem were also longing. They were under attack by Babylon and by the armies of King Nebuchadnezzar. And Jeremiah understood this attack as God's judgment on them for living in a way that was wrong and contrary to God's commandments. In fact, Jeremiah was thrown into prison because Jerusalem's king, King Zedekiah, was tired of hearing him predict doom and gloom and saw him as supporting the enemy. And then the destruction and the devastation that Jeremiah had been preaching about became reality. Their city was ransacked. People were slaughtered. They were prohibited from being able to enter the temple, and they were dragged from their homes and from their land. But after the destruction, about 10 years later, when they were hostages in exile in Babylon, In the passage we read today, Jeremiah begins to sing this new song. He is still in prison, and they are still in exile, but in what we know as the 30 through 33 of Jeremiah, he begins to offer this message of hope. He speaks of the longing of the people now in exile, and he says to them, "The days are surely coming when I will fulfill the promise that I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute righteousness and justice in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety." Now, at that time, when he said that, that must have sounded absolutely ridiculous to the people. They were in exile in Babylon. They were held captive in another country. All they had known was lost. And these words must have sounded totally ridiculous to them. They must have sounded like it would have sounded to hear that Nelson Mandela would be president of South Africa when black South Africans were still living in apartheid. It would have sounded to them like the end of the Cold War and the destruction of the Berlin Wall would have sounded to the people of Germany in the early 1980s. It would have sounded to them like the words to the song, "O Holy Night," "The slave is our brother, and all oppression shall cease," would have sounded to slaves before and during the Civil War. It would have sounded to them like it sounds to us today if we were to hear that there would be an end to terrorism and gun violence. But Jeremiah preached that the day was surely coming when God would restore the mess that the people were in. Out of the charred and devastated land, God would bring forth a shoot, a righteous branch. Isaiah also speaks of that new branch, saying, "There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse. A branch shall grow out of its roots." When all the kings of Israel had been destroyed and the monarch seemed to be just a stump, God said that a new branch would spring up, one that would bring righteousness and justice to the land. You see, when everything else seemed lost, when everything else seems like it's a mess, when everything seems hopeless, we can have a thrill of hope because there will come a day when God will make things right. And God will do this from a new branch in the family tree. You know, that's exactly what we believe God did in Jesus Christ. Jesus is a descendant of David, and there is a new branch in the family tree. Remember what it says in the Nativity story? Joseph went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Bethlehem, to the city of David, because he was descended from the house and the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged because she was expecting a child. And while they were there, she gave birth to a son. That baby, cradled in a manger, was the new righteous branch that would spring up from the house of David. And he came and he taught us how to live as he embodied justice and righteousness. And it's through a relationship with Jesus Christ that we too are grafted into the family tree and can learn to live in ways that live rightly with justice and peace. So what do we do during Advent? We long for justice. And not simply by waiting, by sitting and waiting, but also by living with a posture of hope by conducting ourselves in accord with God's promises. You know, Advent is a time to straighten out what is not yet right in our world and in our lives. It's a time to offer forgiveness. It's a time to extend graciousness. It's a time to care for the weak. It's a time to work for justice for those who are in need. Now, that may seem like a whole lot to accomplish in 4 weeks, right? And it is. But sometimes those seeds are planted long before, and powerful things can happen during Advent. Or sometimes during Advent, we plant those seeds that may bear much fruit later in a short period of time. God can do amazing things in our life when we offer our lives to Christ and seek to follow Him. So let me tell you about the events 30 years ago that came about during Advent at St. Nicholas Church in Leipzig, Germany. The story began in the late 1970s and early 1980s, with huge protests over the arms race all over Europe. But in Eastern Germany, protests were not allowed. It was in this context that 5 or 6 teenagers from the youth group at St. Nicholas Church decided that they were going to meet weekly for peace prayers. I can see some of the teenagers in our church doing the same kind of thing. They would gather every Monday evening, and they would light candles, and they would pray for peace, and they would encourage the public toward action. And soon their gatherings grew, and they also attracted the state security police and the SED, the ruling Communist Party in Eastern Germany, because representatives of that group went to these peace prayers to be able to keep an eye on what was happening. Christians and non-Christians alike, citizens of Leipzig and all over Germany, began to attend these peace prayers. And soon, the crowds were so large that the police started checking identification and detaining people. And in 1989, even blocking the roads to the church. Yet, the people, led by the youth, continued to gather. They heard messages about God's love and justice and peace, and they were encouraged toward nonviolence. And by September of that year, 1989, the church was filled every week with more than 2,000 people. And in September, as they walked outside, as well as the 2,000 people inside, there were more than 10,000 people gathered outside in the square. Helmut Junghans, a retired professor at the University of Leipzig, said, "It started with 5 or 6, but each week there were more of us praying. Eventually we filled the church, and then the square around the church, and then spilled into the ring road surrounding the old part of Leipzig. Eventually there were 300,000 of us marching past the Stasi headquarters. Chants of 'We are the people' began, and then soon were changed to 'We are one people.' But there was not a broken shop window, and there was no violence." So on October 7th, Saturday, 1989, the 40th anniversary of the German Democratic Republic and the Communist Party, they decided it was time to crack down on this counter-revolution and use force if necessary. So for 10 hours, they battered defenseless people, and they took them away in trucks to be locked up. Well, after Saturday comes Monday, the day of the peace prayers. And there were orders that night to shoot any protesters, any of those who were walking through the square. And 1,000 ruling party leaders we're encouraged to come to the church and to be inside the church for the peace prayers. And by 2 o'clock that afternoon, there were already 600 people sitting in the pews. And then Reverend Christian Fuhrer preached on the Sermon of the Mount. And he described his sermon in a situation like this. He said, "And so it was that these people, including SED party members, heard from Jesus, who said, 'Blessed are the poor,' and not 'Anyone with money is happy.' Jesus said, 'Love your enemies,' instead of 'Down with your opponents.' Jesus said, 'Many who are first will be last,' and not 'Everything stays the same.' Jesus said, 'Whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it,' and not 'Take care.' Jesus said, 'You are the salt,' and not 'You are the cream.' The prayers for peace took place in unbelievable calm and concentration," he was going to say. "And so these prayers for peace ended with the bishop's blessing and the urgent call for nonviolence. And as we, more than 2,000 people, came out of the church, I'll never forget the sight. Tens of thousands were waiting in the square. They all had candles in their hands. And if you carry a candle, you need two hands. You have to prevent the candle from going out. You cannot hold a stone or a club in one hand. The miracle came to pass. Jesus' spirit of nonviolence seized the masses and began a material, peaceful power. Troops, industrial militia groups, and police were drawn in, became engaged in conversations, and then withdrew. It was an evening in the spirit of our Lord, where there were no victors or vanquished. No one triumphed over the other, and no one lost. Not a shot was fired. A week later, on Monday, October 16th, the peace prayers continued, as they do to this day. 120,000 people were in the streets of Leipzig, demanding democracy and free elections. And then 2 days later, on October the 18th, the leader of the ruling SED party resigned. And then 2 weeks later, the entire ruling government of the GDR resigned. And on November 9th, the crossing points of the wall in East Berlin opened. And on December 22nd, toward the end of that year, the Brandenburg Gate was opened. Reflecting back on the peace prayers, a member of the Central Committee of the Communist Party said before his death, "We had everything planned. We were prepared for everything, but not for candles and prayers." Yes, Advent is a time of hope, and it begins with the birth of a child more than 2,000 years ago, and it will continue until Christ comes again. It's a time for hope, and it's also a time for action. It's a time for us to put on a posture of hope and to work for justice in our world, to stand up for the oppressed, to care for those who are weak, to help those in need, and to pray for peace. It's a time for each one of us to offer forgiveness, to extend graciousness, to recommit our lives, to love God and to love others. As the third verse of our Holy Bible says, truly He taught us to love one another. his name, all oppression shall cease. Advent is a time for us to embrace hope. Advent is a time for us to recommit ourselves to following Christ, to walking in his ways. That there is hope for everyone. There is a thrill of hope. And hope shall spring forth. Do not lose faith. For there is hope. You pray with me. God, as we look around, the pain and the heartache, the violence, the hurt, the anger, the enmity in our world is ever present. And yet you offer a word of hope, a ridiculous word of hope in the midst. Surrender to offer our hearts to you and give us the strength to follow you. Oh God, give us the commitment to go out into the world and to shout that there is hope for everyone. In the name of Christ, may it be so.
The angels sing as hope for everyone, to announce our King as hope for everyone. What good news they bring as hope for everyone. Angels sing as hope for everyone. They came from afar as hope for everyone. Wise men sought a star as hope for everyone. Shepherds heard the quiet as hope for everyone. From afar as hope for everyone. We are waiting on the promise for the one who lights the darkness, bending low to be among us. Bring your glory in the highest, Jesus. shouts, there's hope for everyone. Heaven shouts, there's hope for everyone.
Love it. Love it, love it, love it. There is hope. Man, that's a good song. Gets in your bones. And you know, I said at the last service, and I do believe it, oftentimes we come to the table and we do so quite quietly and reverently. But there is a time to come with joy in our bones and shouting at the top of our lungs, there is hope for everyone. That is good news. Good, good news. And this table is a meal of hope. It's a meal of remembrance. Remembering that Jesus came. God came. And dwelt among us, and then died our death so that we don't have to fear the grave, and then rose from the grave, ushering in the new creation once and for all, so that we can declare, regardless of our circumstances, that the worst that ever happens to us is never the last thing. Jesus gets the last word. There is hope for everyone. So Jesus, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, take it. This is my body given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then he took the cup and gave thanks to the Father, gave it to the disciples, and said, take and drink. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you do it in remembrance. Friends, to maintain a posture of hope, we need God's grace in us, continuously flowing into us, and that is what this meal is for, to come experience the goodness of all the time, so we can go out there and declare there is hope for everyone. Let's pray. Almighty God, oh, we give you thanks. You are such a good, good God. We thank you. Came to dwell among us, and you are one with us, and you are for us. We have nothing to fear, for you have overcome the world. So pour out your spirit on us, and on this bread and juice, that it will be for us the body and blood of Christ, that redeems us and makes us the body of Christ in the world. By your Holy Spirit, make us one with you and one in ministry to all the world until you come again in final victory, and we all feast around your holy Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit, enable us to be your church, to be a people who allow hope to rise within us and spill out through us into the world. Make us people of change, of peaceful change. In Jesus' name we pray. I'd like to invite those who are going to serve with us to go ahead and come forward now and prepare those elements. You'll see a pair of servers there in front of you in just a few moments. And in this church, in every United Methodist Church, you do not need to be a member here or anywhere to come and partake in this meal. This is Jesus' table, and Jesus welcomes everyone to his table. So this morning we invite you to come, beginning with the front rows in your section. You can exit to the left and come forward as you make your way forward. You can cup your hand and we'll tear off a piece of bread and hand it to you. And then you can take that bread and dip it into the cup and eat it. You're welcome to come kneel and pray here at the altar. Or you can return by the right side of your section. Sing with the band. Pray quietly. Use this time any way you need to let hope take up residency in you. So much so that when you leave here in your own authentic way, you bear witness to hope out there in the world. If you need gluten-free, we have it on either side. Just let us know. Come, for all is ready.
can see a star shine, and its splendor fills up the sky. It's the same that appeared and the wise men revealed when hope was born this night. Out upon the snowy field, there's a silent peace to heal, and it echoes the grace of our Savior's embrace when hope was born this night. Church choir sing. It's the song used to praise the ancient days when hope was born this night. There are angels in this place, and my heart resounds with the praise. Like a shepherd so scared, I'll rejoice and declare that hope was born this night.
Thank you for the mystery of this meal that nourishes our souls, and having experienced your goodness this morning, may we allow hope to dwell within us, to rise up within us. May we be people who proclaim there is hope for everyone and do it for your glory until you come again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So let's stand and sing our last song. And what we're going to do, there's just too many Christmas songs, I couldn't pick just one. So what we're going to do is we're going to sing Away in a Manger. And then we're going to go into a little bit of First Noel. I think y'all can catch it. Y'all are great.
The cattle are low.
Morning, may the blessing of God in Jesus Christ be born in your life, be born in your heart, so that you may know hope, and that you may go out with a posture of hope, shouting to everyone that there is hope for everyone. May the love of God and the grace of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit be with you all.